Welcome to the show, everyone. This week, we continue to travel through the world of video games, and we discuss some of our favorite aspects of the hack and slash. This is the Party Up Podcast.
Transmission.
Oh.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning into this week's brand new edition of the Party Up Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Derek Big Mosh, and with me, as always, Mr. John Donadio, some beardy to love. What's going on, man?
What's going on, my dude?
Nothing much. Also with us, as always, Mr. Jordan 7 of 7 TV. What's going on, baby?
Remember, you guys, when a barista asks you your name, do not answer them. They are a fairy in disguise trying to steal your name and gain your power. Instead, respond with, "You cannot have my name, but you can call me blank." Follow 7TV for more tips on how to avoid being captured by those fucking fairies.
I don't know what I appreciate more, how elaborate that was or the shameless plug at the end of it.
I was hoping we would totally gloss over it.
Oh, come on, guys. You know that I'm not going to let that pass. I mean, I'm the king of shameless plugs. Right. Self-promoting? That's my middle name. Follow us on Twitter at Party Up Tweets, Instagram at the Party Up Podcast, and of course, search for us on Facebook by typing in the Party Up Podcast. Drop us a like and join our group. That's how you do it.
There you go, sweetie.
Perfect. Great segue.
I am also the king of segues, though I do wish I did own a segue.
Did you know the inventor of the segue died by driving a segue off of a cliff?
Wait, yeah, no that. Way. Are you serious?
Yes.
Either
it is true or it's one of those rumor things that got circulated, but enough people have said it that I believe it and I say it with confidence.
What's a crazier rumor? That or the rumor that everyone heard in middle school for some reason that Marilyn Manson removed a rib so he could suck his own dick? Remember that one?
Yeah. That's true. I don't care what anyone says.
All right, wait, so I looked it up.
Okay. Why?
Because I needed to know.
Hold on. Out of all the dumb shit we talk about on the show that John goes, literally and audibly goes, ugh, this is what you look up on the internet and to see if it's factual?
No. John is right.
This guy died while riding a Segway. Now, what happened was...
I thought you were talking about the Marilyn Manson thing.
Oh, no, I was talking about the Segway thing.
I'm real confused and scared.
All right, so the guy who invented the Segway, his name is Jimmy Helsedon, and he apparently went out one day and was killed when he fell off a cliff footpath into the River Wharf, okay? The Segway vehicle was found near him.
Oh, shit.
No one knows how he got out there. But we concluded that he died accidentally while riding the Segway. He got into difficulty when he reversed his vehicle to allow a man walking his dog to pass.
He was trying to be
a nice guy and died for it.
Could you imagine you're just like, you know those moments where you like move over and let someone just like pass you or whatever? Can you imagine that little tiny fucking instance in your life murders you? Like,
right?
You're like, oh, excuse me, ma'am. Ah!
Oh, sweet Lord.
Poor guy.
I mean, at least he went out on like a positive, like, you know, like he gets up to the gates and Peter's like, "Hey man, you're in. You died doing a good deed, so let's
not doing what you loved, man."
I mean, I feel bad laughing about someone's death, but that's pretty fucking funny.
I mean, yeah.
What
as
a
far
way
as
to go.
Accidental death goes, I mean, yeah, it is kind I mean, of funny.
That's some like Looney Tunes kind of shit, you know? Don't look down.
Yeah.
Before he fell, he held up a little sign that said, "Uh-oh," and then fell.
Okay. All right.
It's a little dark. He's a real person. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, now that we've taken care of the morbid portion of the show, guys, how was your week? How was your week, John? Tell us about it. Let's cleanse our palates here.
I've been we had a really couple of good days in New York. And took full advantage of this weekend. Mm-hmm. Out and about doing stuff. River and I went out down to the beachy area, walked the boardwalk, did some beach exercises. It was great. We had a good day.
Nice. Awesome, man. What about you, Jordan? You do anything fun this week?
It's been very chill. We haven't really been taking advantage of the weather because, like, myself and Amy are shut-ins. So, ultimately, we kind of... we're very scholarly, though. Like, we're both currently... We both do, like, therapy stuff and stuff like that. And then we compare notes about, like, our own experiences and things like that. And we just, like, read a lot of books together with, like, a shared Kindle account. Fun fact, you can share a Kindle account with someone. So... Yeah. Don't tell them
because Netflix did that, and now apparently they're doing another crackdown on
Netflix
that.
Is not good enough to be implementing these fucking rules anymore. I'll say it, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just done, dude. Netflix, you used to be really good. You had Bob's Burgers and Family Guy and fucking, I have you solely for the Peaky Blinders, and once that show is finished with its final season, you're fucking gone, dude. You're gone. I don't care anymore. Like,
yeah, I'm not using that as much as I used to either. I'm mainly either on Hulu, using Hulu stuff, or I'm on the Disney Plus app, man. You can't go wrong with it. Exactly. It's been the best investment. So, yeah, sucks to suck, Netflix. Sorry.
How was your week, dude?
I didn't really do much myself, man. Just staying active, still on my journey towards... self-improvement. So for those that have been, you know, listening, you've heard a few times here that we've all kind of like been doing a little bit of a weight loss thing. And as of this recording, I'm 47 pounds down. I'm 3 pounds away from my first big major soft goal. So I'm stoked on that. Yeah, I'm super hyped on that.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, much like John, I just kind of tried to take advantage of the good weather, man. Over the weekend, I just busted out a bunch of yard work and start cleaning stuff up, because now that we are in a much better living situation, we have yard access and this big space now, and I want to do something, man. Come the spring and the summer, like, you guys know, like, I love to barbecue, man. So the first thing on my mind is getting that whole yard area set up, because we want to set up a pool for the kids. I want to set up and like make the grass nice and clean, and I want to go ahead and invest in a nice barbecue with like maybe like a smoker attachment, and really just, you know, really make that the hangout spot come the nicer weather. Because now, you know, with everything going on in the world, you know, COVID wise, a majority of the people that I know are out there getting their vaccines, and they're still masking up, and a lot of my friends have always been playing it safe. So I feel comfortable enough to, you know, not get fucking crazy, but, you know, have a decent amount of my friends over for the nice weather and have a nice hangout sesh outside, get some fresh air, eat some good food, and just fucking hang out. So that's kind of what I did. Just started, you know, planning that out and just, you know, being a dad, you know, just yelling at my kid while I was doing yard work.
Hold the flashlight correctly.
Yeah, not really teaching him any skills, just yelling about everything he's doing incorrectly. Standard dad etiquette, you know?
Right.
But it's been good, man. It's been good. Good week. Got a lot of stuff done around the house, just hanging out and just trying to be active. So yeah, you know. As far as everything like show wise, I have also been very busy. For those that are not part of our social media that I already shamelessly plugged, make sure you add us on all of that stuff, because if you haven't been on it, then you missed the teaser post about our upcoming Twitch streams and our upcoming shows that we're putting together for Twitch exclusively for that streaming service. I know the future clips are also going to go to our YouTube, which we already launched. You know, we just have a bunch of stuff in the works. One of the most exciting things, honestly, which I know, John, you're nervous, you're happy, you're excited, you're stoked on, you're hyped for. We are doing, so by the time everyone's listening to the show, you're going to have time to follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/partyuppodcast, and join us this Friday, the 19th. At around 8 p.m., we're going to start the stream, and we're going to be doing John's new project here for us at the Party Up Podcast, the Dungeons and Sandwiches live Twitch stream, which, I'm super excited. Why don't you let the listeners know a little more about that, John?
So this is actually going to be my first time DMing, which means dungeon mastering, a... Dungeons and Dragons session. I've been at least part of one, so it's kind of still new to me too, so it'll be exciting. And this is the first time Derek and Jordan have ever played the game. So, I mean, we're going to be a little bit loosey-goosey on the rules. We're going to kind of do a lot of homebrew stuff just to keep it interesting and fun for listeners.
Right.
We are going to do a thing where, like, if you tweet at us and kind of spread the show around, we'll write you in as an NPC. And it's going to be these two, and an NPC that I make for them a little later on. They're going to try and save the cosmos from certain doom. So you definitely want to, quite follow us on that.
Yeah. We're super stoked, man. We're excited. You know, thank you for taking up the task. I know that you've always wanted to DM and do something with Dungeons and Dragons. And now with us kind of expanding our creative horizons, we said, why don't we just mash it all up? You take the lead on this. Let's do it. Me and Jordan have never played Dungeons and Dragons, so we're excited to see where everything goes. We're excited to see the campaign that you've put together. So again, to the listeners out there, make sure you follow us, twitch.tv/partyuppodcast, this Friday, the 19th, 8 p.m., the very first edition of Dungeons and Sandwiches. And yes, we are going to be eating sandwiches. I am excited to put together a little something for the show. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fucking fun. But all right. Enough shameless promotion. Let's get into this week's topic. Now, again, for anyone that's been keeping up to date with the show and listening to the episodes, you'll know that last week and the week prior, we dove into video games, getting transitioned into different mediums. First, we hit all the live-action films. Then last week, we went ahead and reviewed our anime of the month, the Devil May Cry anime, which obviously is based off the Devil May Cry video games. And that brought us to this week, where we are going to be talking about some of our favorite hack and slash video games. As many know out there that may have played or heard of Devil May Cry, you know that is one of the titles that is considered hack and slash, mainly because of the gameplay and everything like that. And I decided to, before we get into the titles we want to talk about, because I have titles that are some of my favorites, I have titles that I want to talk about, I have questions that hopefully both you, John, and Jordan can go ahead and answer for me. So it's going to be an interesting discussion this week. But before I did that, I kind of wanted to get into a little bit of history and information as far as hack and slash go. So let's cue some music. There it is. And let's learn a little bit of hack and slash 101. So essentially, hack and slash refers to a type of gameplay that emphasizes combat with melee-based weapons such as swords or blades, and a few projectile-based weapons as well, such as guns and things of that sort. It is a subgenre of the beat-em-up genre, which focuses on melee combat, usually with fists. And typically, games that'll employ the hack and slash method are where it originated from, role-playing games. The term hack and slash has its roots in the pen and paper RPGs like Dungeons and Dragons, which we're just talking about, denoting campaigns of violence with no other plot elements or significant goal. The term itself dates at least as far back as 1980, as shown in a Dragon article, So role-playing games, really the start of hack and slash. Then they moved over to role-playing video games, where hack and slash made the transition from the tabletop to the video game world, usually starting in D&D-like worlds. And then, of course, transitioning from there into the more well-known action video games, which has been a majority of the titles that you know and you love. But distinct from hack and slash role-playing games, the term hack and slash also began being used to refer to weapon-based action games as a subgenre of the beat-em-ups, such as the Golden Axe series. Typically, journalists like you, John, I know, that cover the video game industry often use the term hack and slash to refer to the distinct genre of the 3D third-person weapon-based melee action games. And then usually a lot of action games that utilize hack and slash combat are controlled by just frequently pressing a button or two for the actions, or with gestures from the newer motion controllers like the Wii Remote, the Nunchucks, the Move, so forth. And a lot of that emulates the swinging of the sword or other melee weapons. So a little brief information about hack and slash in general. Now, John, you working with Gaming Access Weekly and doing all your journalistic adventures in the world of video games, what's your take on hack and slash? Do you prefer hack and slash type of games? Is it something you like to put into your library as far as things that you look forward to? How do you feel about the genre?
Actually, hack and slashes are some of my favorite types of games because they're the ones that have a quick adventure, not much plot, and just it's more about having fun and, like, you know, seeing a kill count or some kind of, you know, counter based type of, you know, whatever. I enjoy them. They're fun to me because I used to really like the beat 'em ups also. Like, that was one of my favorite genres growing up. Those side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Yes.
I still like them to this day. Like, I downloaded the new Battletoads when it came out. I did the new Streets of Rage 4 when that came out. I love them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hack and slashes were always kind of, like, just fun things that I enjoyed.
Nice. What about you, Jordan? Any experience in the hack and slash world? I know that you said last time we were on the show, Devil May Cry, one of your top video games ever.
Right.
So I'm assuming that this is a big big thing for you.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is my number one genre, actually, with video games. The thing that kind of sucks is that they don't make a lot of them anymore, is the thing. Hack and slash is something that's getting very few and far between when you look at the dominating genres of, you know, battle royales and your right. fucking simulator games and things of that nature, which I understand.
Yes, first you know, person shooters, yeah.
Yeah, the mass appeal is what's going to prevail, obviously. But, you know, we still have the really good ones that not only, you know, have existed through time, but also get their sequels like Devil May Cry 5, as well as the ones that are so good that I won't go into like titles or anything yet, but like, you know, your Bayonetta, for example, where that's being remade every single time Nintendo has a new console. So hack and slash isn't like dead or anything like that.
They'll continue to make them. They're fan enough favorites where a company can kind of like get one out like in a weekend kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, let's just make a hack and slash to keep them occupied. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. If beat 'em ups are still like a big thing, I know hack and slash is still going to be also a big thing, we're always going to see versions of games like that. I mean, for instance, you know, John, just not to get too off topic for hack and slash, but the beat 'em up genre is really where this originates from, and they just announced a brand new Ninja Turtles beat 'em up side scroller.
Yeah, which is like the remake of like Turtles in Time.
I'm fucking ecstatic for it, dude. I am all for it. I can't wait.
I'm really pumped for that.
I'm super excited for that. But yeah,
that was the Chuck E. Cheese one. That game was shit. All my tokens got spent on that.
Yeah. Turtles in Time was definitely one of my favorite beat 'em ups. But yeah, I mean, the hack and slash genre, I mean, you gotta love it, man. I always say that there's beauty in simplicity, and a hack and slash is as simple as you can get, honestly. As far as, you know, the way that a game's mechanics works. you have a slew of weapons or, you know, a lot of melee-based combat stuff, and then you go through your crowds, you go through all of your enemies, and you just go to town and kill and destroy, and it's and it's great, and it's fun. And the best part is that sometimes the hack and slash, even though they're simple, they make up for it a lot in the storytelling. And I know that we're probably going to dive into some titles that are our favorites, that do just that. But first I want to ask you guys a question. So, you know, hack and slash is mainly that it's you have some type of blade weapon. Sometimes you have projectiles, and I see this in a lot of games that was specifically in the hack and slash genre, the character that you're playing to some extent has that option. You can either go strictly melee or you can do the projectile. Typically it is a gun, like I explained. So when you're playing these games, what do you guys opt for? Because when I compare a sword to a gun, yes, let's be honest, a gun more in reality is probably going to be way more dangerous. But in this type of game, in these types of video games, I love to be a blade wielder. I just feel it's the better option out of the two. So for you guys, do you guys have a specific like style of weapon you prefer? Is it the blade? Is it the gun? Is it maybe some other projectile from another type of game? What do you guys usually like to do when you're chopping down all the enemies?
Well, first of all, going back a little bit, the hack and slash genre is the reason why I love swords so much as a person. John knows this. I don't know if I shared it with Derek, but I haven't even said this on the show. I own like multiple different swords. I buy and collect like replica swords from video games. I have the Master Sword that that Vanessa brought me from Gaming Access
for
Christmas one year. Yeah, I got the Master Sword from Zelda. I have the high frequency blade from Metal Gear Rising, which is one of my favorite hack and slash titles that Raiden uses. I have Deadpool's twin katanas. I have it's very small, but I have a replica of Nero's sword from Devil May Cry 4.
Nice.
I just have like little medieval swords you get at like the fair and stuff like that. But I'm a collector of swords. Yeah, I'll show my sword collection off whenever. But my whole thing is like In a lot of games I see, I take Devil May Cry and Bayonetta for like example, is yes, they do give you the option for not only your melee weapon, but also the the ranged attack, whether it be projectile, bullets, what have you. But also I always see them when we're talking in a lot of hack and slash games in the genre, you never really see them side by side. Your weapon is mainly your sword. That is your weapon. I always see things like bow and arrow and guns and like blow darts and things like that. Those are your sub-weapons. We're just showing our age on this fucking show.
Blow darts, yeah.
Blow darts.
I may not be able to kill that guy, but I'll sure as hell sedate him.
I'll knock him out, I'll tell you what. Which is not how a blow dart works at all, because medicine does not travel through the bloodstream that quickly.
Yeah, that's why it's fun. That's why it's like a good... Like, here, it's funny. Like, I just recently... And I don't know if it counts, but Warframe is like a modern day hack and slash.
It is, yes.
To Jordan's credit, he suggested that I play Warframe, and I've been playing it like nonstop for the last couple of days.
Really?
I'm very much in love with it, but it does give you a sense of who you really are deep down. I took the bow staff and the bow.
Of course. Oh, God, of course you did.
Yeah. And I have like a side handgun or whatever that
But you see what I'm saying, though, is like the guns and the projectile weapons, those are your sub weapons. You can't beat all of Devil May Cry or all of Warframe using only projectile. Like, you have to use the main weapon is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the God of War, the old school God of War hack and slash, you know, like that's like you have one main weapon that you use and you have several different combos and situations you can perform in them.
Exactly.
And that's what makes a good hack and slash. You go for the story and the action's just fun as shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do have to agree with both of you. I mean, I tend to go for the blade stuff, and yeah, the guns, the projectiles, sub weapons. I mean, to be honest, sometimes I even forget I have those options because I don't feel like they're as important. And yeah, maybe sometimes in a specific like fight or maybe to get past a certain point in the game, I might have to use them. Like, for instance, I'll get a little bit into my question a little later, but you know, actually, you know what? I'm not gonna bring it up because I don't want to ruin this part of the discussion for later.
Okay, then I have a question for you guys. Okay. I have a question for you guys then. Because the I've always struggled with this answer, that the action RPG is very much a hack and slash model. Mm-hmm. Like for some of them, like a Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy Remake type of thing, that is kind of a hack and slash with magic. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I know. Cause like, that's the way it feels to me, especially Final Fantasy 15, the remake, the seven
well,
remake.
It is a hack and slash. You said that it's like kind of a hack and slash. Like, no, it is a hack and slash.
Yeah. That's the way like, I feel fully. Like playing those games. Yeah. Like, and they're a lot of fun and I loved them, but like, it was like, okay, this is the, the JRPG hack and slash.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the difference between the two of those, and I've always noticed this, was that a lot of times in those, they really limit you as far as combo moves. So like in your, you know, your Devil May Cries and things like that, you can pull off different, you know, it has like heavy slash and then light slash, and then you can combine them in different ways, and you can move the directional stick different ways and do different shit. But in those games, it's just a regular three-hit combo, and that's what you're using for the majority of the game because they focus more on, like you said, like the magic, the summoning, things of that nature.
Right.
So if you look at, I know that like in the remake for Final Fantasy VII, Cloud has two different like sword modes, which spices that up a little bit. But if you look like in like 15, Final Fantasy 15, Noctis, when you equip a sword, it's one combo all the way through.
Yeah.
And there's different weapons that do different combos, but you don't get to spice up those combos. Those combos stay exactly the way they are.
Right, exactly. That's the only thing that makes it like not so hack and slashy, but like it's not right. It's, again, at that point, it's the sword and sorcery thing. It's more about the sorcery as well.
Same thing.
But it
with
made
Kingdom
me
Hearts,
think about like one of my favorite like American RPGs, The Witcher. Like The Witcher is a hack and slash.
Yeah.
It's dodging and rolling. Yeah, you have a couple of different combos with your sword, and it's magic. Like, except you get to ride a horse named Roach. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hack and slash. It's a huge open world, but.
Yeah, it's definitely considered a hack. See, that's another thing too, is like, and this used to confuse the shit out of me, is like a lot of these games,
it's
like
such a broad term.
Yeah, but also we need to start realizing that games have multiple genres.
Yes.
Like there's certain games that have multiple genres. So like with those games, like the Square Enix titles that have like the same thing with like Kingdom Hearts, for example, where like you get the same, you could utilize the same combo throughout the entirety of the game, or if you unlock and equip certain like nodes into, I don't know what they're actually called, but when you unlock and equip, you can actually add a hit to your combo or subtract a hit from your combo, or they have little things like that, which is the JRPG element of it. With The Witcher and everything like that, it's open world, it is RPG, but it is also hack and slash. So it's one of those things where like you have to kind of jam the, I see what you're saying, you have to like jam the genres together.
Yeah, so like there's a lot that we could like kind of go through because there's so many good ones.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know what? I didn't want to bring this up till after we did some titles, but fuck it. We're on it now. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask the question I was originally.
Okay.
Are Zelda games considered hack and slash?
Yes.
That's a really good question.
You know? Because let's be, he wields a sword. You go around, whether it's 2D or 3D, you go around and you defeat your enemies primarily with the sword, and you have projectiles as your sub weapons and other things like that.
Bow and arrow, whatever.
Exactly. Bombs. So,
and it's a combination of that you mixed between all of them, that using them and stuff.
Yeah,
right. I think it
is more about the story than it is about the combat.
See, that's what I was gonna say, because like just like what we were talking about before, when it comes to these games, right? Like, mm-hmm. Zelda is a hack and slash, but hack and slash is not one of the more primary genres in that game. That sure. game, primarily when people talk about Zelda, they talk about open world adventure and they talk mm-hmm. about puzzle solving. But right. the combat is essentially very hack and slashy. But you also have to realize yeah. hack and slash has a lot to do with how you defeat enemies and stuff like that. When you're fighting bosses in Zelda, you're not just running up to the boss and slashing your sword. No, you have to solve a puzzle and then make them open their weak point and everything.
Okay, well, here's the thing is that if you're going to base everything on Devil May Cry, then yes, that is the point of a hack and slash. I don't like because God of War was also a lot of puzzles, if you remember.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It seems like that mechanic is traditionally in a lot of hack and slash is a lot of puzzle solving because
puzzles prolong a game.
Exactly. You can't just go around just slashing and hacking and killing everything. Like, there's got to be something a little more, intricate or a little more depth to what you're doing. So they add puzzles. But right. that's my whole right. thing. Like, I think of, I was like, I'll be honest, I'm looking through titles, right? Like, I know one or two titles off the top of my head that I obviously have played. And I was like, I wonder if there are more out there that I just can't think of, that I just don't remember. And maybe I've played right, in the past. Right. So I'm going through titles and I'm thinking, is Zelda hack and slash? Because that's the way it's put together. And I across the board have not seen it listed along some of the more well-known hack and slash titles.
Well, right. Like Jordan said, it's because it's the other genres that Zelda falls into that take place over the hack and slash. It was more about like all of the other things than it was hack and slash for Zelda. So you people kind of forget that is what it is when you break down the bare bones, I think.
Exactly. Right. It's right. like when you hear someone talk about a game and they're like, oh, this game is an action JRPG with
right.
roguelike elements or with da-da-da elements. It's like those like right. little side elements are things. I would say Zelda is an open world adventure game with hack and slash elements. If we were defining all the little nitpicky things that right, Zelda includes.
Subgenres that it would fall into. Right. Okay. Yeah, because the reason why I asked is because, like I said, they never really list it, even though I really feel from my experience with a lot of the games that I would, like you, Jordan, right off the rip, you're like, absolutely yes. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, I think Zelda, and I go, definitely hack and slash. Like, obviously part of a spectrum of other things it falls into, but absolutely hack and slash. So to not see it on these lists like kind of like confused me. But then I see something you know that they came out with I see that they came out with Hyrule Warriors, which is mainly considered hack and slash. I've never played the game. I'll be completely honest, when Hyrule Warriors came out, I thought that it was actually like almost like a fighter game. I didn't even know it was a hack and slash.
Yeah, it's the you have one character and there are armies of people, so you get all these really cool powers to try and take them down. It's actually a lot of those are fun games. Dynasty
Warriors,
the same thing.
Also, Derek, I think you and I are looking at the same list, because I did notice that like Hyrule Warriors is on that list. And like, it goes back to what I said before, like the differentiation between that is like the fact that Hyrule Warriors is one of those games that like we said, it's like open, kind of like you're defending points in Dynasty Warriors, and you're this one overpowered warrior who has way more power, but all the enemies around you, they may be weaker, but there's hundreds of them, and you're fighting through armor.
Right.
So with a game like that, there's not a lot of puzzle solving elements or open world adventure, which is why that game, as a Zelda game, can be considered more of a hack and slash than regular Zelda game.
Gotcha.
I mean, they continue to make, like, we're talking about, like, new hack and slash. Like, Hades was up for Game of the Year this year, or last year.
Yeah, actually one of the titles that I have written down, yeah.
Hades is an awesome game, and honestly, the artwork for the gods and goddesses in that game could rival Son of Zeus, you know what I mean? Like, another animatedly drawn, like, really super sexy Greek god and goddess thing.
Exactly, that's cool.
But the gameplay is hysterical and fun, and then also that new one, that werewolf game, Werewolf the Apocalypse. That was like the new Wolverine game, you know, like the Wolverine the movie game. Remember that? That's a hack and slash too.
Right.
It's like that, but like with a werewolf. It's great. It's a great game. But
yeah, I've heard a lot about the Hades title. I'm yet to play that. I wanted to. Actually, yeah. It's really funny. That's my nephews were telling me about it. Because they invested in that, and I saw them playing one day, and I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, Hades. And I'm like, oh, really? How is it? And they're like, yo, it's so good. It's really fun. And what is it? You play as, like, Prince of the Underworld?
Yeah, you're Hades' kid, basically. Gotcha. And you're just trying to escape the underworld.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it's really fun to play. It looks really good. I mean, like you said, it went up for Game of the Year. So that's definitely a title that I wanted to look into that definitely is considered, you know, hack and slash and stuff like that.
You know what was some of my favorite, like, in a series? And I don't know if a lot of people played these games, but the Onimusha games.
Yes.
Do you remember Onimusha?
Onimusha Demon Siege, I think, was one of them.
Yeah, there was like, three games, and then there was another one that came out later, but like one and two, specifically remember Onimusha 3 being really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they had that guy, what was Leon the Professional? Do you remember the guy who played Leon the Professional in that movie?
I do not.
He was like a character in the game, so they modeled him in the game, and it was awesome. All three of them were good.
What about you, Jordan? What are some of the titles that you really enjoyed in the past, or anything that may have been of recent that's in the hack and slash world?
Okay, so this is like my opinion and everything like that, but I'll give you my number one, or it's close to Devil May Cry, but like I feel that this game is the definitive hack and slash. I feel like this is the game that got it right, was Metal Gear Rising. This game is like, it's the Metal Gear Solid series that kind of took a jump off and like did a game in the series that was completely not Metal Gear Solid. And Metal Gear Solid fans would really despise this game if it weren't so fucking cool. This was an example of a game that came out that was a jump off from the original series, but saved its own life with some of the coolest gameplay, because essentially you are a cyborg ninja running around a futuristic world, cutting down robots in the middle of a city. And
that's dope. Cool that is.
But you're also, here's the thing, it had a function in the game, and it was a short game too. Like, it wasn't that long of a game, but where it really shines is its gameplay, where it had this function that was called like blade mode, which was when you hit the trigger button, like it's like bullet time but for a sword. So you hit the trigger button and then you stop, and there's a little target in the shape of a line, and you control that target, and you could put the target anywhere on an enemy's body or on a robot's like body or whatever. And wherever you put that line, you can slice. And once you slice, you can slice different appendages off of your enemies. You can slice different elements or parts off of a robot. You could hit like, sensitive parts, like weak points on enemies and shit like that. Nice. It was some of the greatest. I swear to God, I really, this is one of those games that I hope Derek plays at any point in time, because it's just, fuck the story, don't even worry about the story. I think you will have a lot of fucking fun with this game. I'm not even kidding.
I'm all about it, man. Listen, that's one of the new series that we're going to be doing on Twitch. It's called Backlogged. It's basically me going through titles that I've never played before. I've either never got my hands on and never had time for. So if you want to add that on the list, you can join me on my playthrough and we'll fucking do it, man. I'm excited for that.
We should.
That sounds great.
since we're talking about Jordan's number one, I would like to talk about my number one.
Sure.
Because I thought the way he was describing it at first made me think of this, and I thought that was where he was going with it, because I have it on my notes. Was Nier Automata.
I knew that Nier was going to be on your list.
It's a good one.
Literally my favorite.
John and I love that fucking game.
I even gave it, when we did a whole thing of the generation, because when Xbox One was sort of like, okay, now it's the next generation. Xbox One, PS4, and all that stuff. Nier Automata was my number one. Like, hands down, game of the generation. Like, I enjoyed it so much. And they do hack and slash really, really well.
Yes.
And the story is awesome. There's 26 endings to it. You know, like
Jesus Christ.
We talked about that too.
It's a phenomenal, ridiculous thing.
My nose would bleed.
I can't look at it.
Yeah, we talked about that shit too. How like that was a really good, as far as like an open world-ish kind of hack and slash adventure, but like it's like a story that isn't stupid. Like,
right.
It's art.
It has all kinds of different combos and weapons and
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
There's puzzles and I mean it's so well done.
Now, is there a game that came out before that called Just Near? Or am I confused about that? Oh, there is. So there is a game that originated before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a series.
Yep. Oh, it is a series. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, you're gonna come to realize there are a lot of titles I never played. Like, yeah. I have a long list of games that, like, I've obviously played, but then there's an even longer list of games, like, I never played. Like, for instance, like, one, I have both these games for PS4, right? Mm-hmm. I bought the first one. I never got to play it. Then the second one came out, and by the time I got around to wanting to get that second one, I found it, like, on super discount. Yeah. So I ended up getting the second one. Both of them are still sitting on my stack of games in plastic wrap. I haven't even opened them. Wow. Now I'm talking about Neo and Neo 2.
Oh.
And I have not played these, and I'm going through the titles that like I could have sworn that I've either played or maybe not have forgotten. I'm going through these lists, and I see Neo come up, and I'm just like, man, how have I not fucking touch this game yet? I have one and I have two and I haven't played any of it. And what's funny is that apparently like the game takes a lot of inspiration from like Ninja Gaiden and like the Dark Souls series of games.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, like I was like, dope, this is sick, because it's basically you going through like Japan fighting ancient demons, and it's, you know, hand to hand combat. You got swords and axes and all this other crazy stuff, weaponry that you can use. Very, very hack and slash. Definitely excited to play it. And then I heard a lot of people comparing it to the Dark Souls series, and I immediately went, fuck, did I completely just mess up my whole like experience with this game? Because I hate the difficulty of the Dark Souls series. Like, I cannot deal with, like, I don't know. Listen, it's not for me. Don't get me wrong. It's for you, and you like super high level difficulty shit. Like, you love playing on hardcore mode on games and stuff like that. Right. Listen, by all means.
Yeah.
destroy yourself mentally and emotionally over and over again by all means, but I can't do it.
Live with your mistakes, you masochists.
Dude, I can't. I tried playing the first Dark Souls, and like 20 minutes in, I couldn't get past like one fucking skeleton for some reason, and I went, fuck this game. I'm not playing these. I'm not doing it, dude.
They're good games, but they're too hard.
I'm right there with you, dude. Like, honestly, like I bought Bloodborne. And, like, I'm the type of person who rages if he doesn't catch the correct Pokemon. I'll throw my fucking Game Boy across the room. So, like, Bloodborne, I'm doing all this shit. And I did really good for, like, an hour and a half. And then I got fucking killed and realized where I was put, which is basically at the beginning. And I was like, I'm not even selling this back. I'm taking it in the backyard and fucking breaking it. This is fucking stupid.
You know what's funny? I got Bloodborne, and I actually really, like, liked it until I got to, like, the first, like, really big boss randomly, and like I died, and I was like, I'm level like 40 something, why can't I beat this? And then I was like, fuck this game, I don't want to deal with it anymore, I'm done, I can't do it. So as excited as I am to like crack open the Neos and play them, I'm also very scared, because I'm
they're
just
not
like,
as hard as those, but they definitely have their own difficulties. Like, there are things that kind of give you the upper hand in Neo, but it is still not easy.
I'm not saying hand me everything in the world, but video games are supposed to be fun. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I know that Ninja would disagree with us. You know, you got to be competitive all the time.
He's doing heroin. I don't care what
I enjoy.
Wait, what? What?
Have you heard the joke about that? Like,
that's a joke.
Yeah, have you seen like the pictures of him lately? Like, his cheeks are all super pushed in, and his blue hair is now like this faint teal. He looks like he's like losing it. Like,
oh my god,
he's just tired. He just wants to go away.
Millions. Go to an island and just sit there, you fucking idiot. All right, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Anyway. Yeah, from hack and slashes, let's just shit on Ninja for a fucking hour. I mean, listen, man, he's probably all stressed out from being so competitive.
I know from the talks that we've had that like your, some of your favorite games are hack and slashes, like Darksiders.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man, you want to get into some of my favorites? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, Darksiders
is awesome. Let's talk about Darksiders because I
love
this franchise. I love these series
so
of games.
Fun.
They are so fucking fun. Like, obviously, I brought up Zelda earlier because I love the Zelda games. I love that style of game. I love the puzzles. I love the weaponry. I love everything. When Darksiders first came out, the first one, where you get to play as fucking War, they thought this was going to be the Zelda killer. That's how a lot of people like saw this game. Like when this comes out, that's going to be it. Unfortunately, well, not really unfortunately, but to, I guess, their disappointment, it didn't really become a Zelda killer, but it absolutely, absolutely was a great game.
Anyone that said that would be a Zelda killer is a moron. Like, I'm sorry. You cannot kill Nintendo, no matter how hard you try.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree that you can't kill Nintendo, but the fact that
the
someone
said
came
that
out,
had oversized luggage to carry huge balls in.
For someone to be bold enough to state that, I'm not going to lie, piqued interest. For me, at least. For someone to be like, yo, this is going to be the Zelda kill, I'm like, I don't know about that, but I'm definitely interested to see what this game is bringing to the table
the
if someone's bold enough
shit.
To say that. Oh, yeah, dude. First off, let's start off with Darksiders, and the story is awesome. The fact you get to play as the Horseman of the Apocalypse, oh my god, amazing, amazing concept to me. The fact you get to hack and slash demons and angels and find all these like artifacts and power-ups and stuff like that, amazing. In the original Darksiders, you could actually, instead of wielding War sword, you could actually wield a scythe in that game as well. Like a big brawlic looking scythe. And like, and that alone was like, yo, this is way before any of the other games came out. And I was like, oh man, imagine, like, please tell me they're going to come out and like continue the story and you could play as Death. I can't wait. My favorite one out of the entire series, because I've played 1, 2, and 3 and I have Genesis. I haven't gotten around to play it yet. That's where you can play as Strife, the fourth one. Different format. It's much more Diablo-esque. It's a top down. But still, I'm excited to continue the story and play as Strife. But Darksiders 2 has to be my favorite out of all of them. Mm. Not only because of the hack and slash aspect, not only because of the other perspective of the story that they give you, but because that's where they kind of really pumped in that like RPG sense of like getting different weaponry with stats and being able to mold your character a little more and like be able to do more. But I'm telling you, playing as Death was the coolest fucking thing ever.
It's rare that a sequel outshines an original.
Yeah.
And Darksiders 2 is a pure example of that. Like,
100%.
They took everything that made the first game great, added it to the second, and then boosted it on top of it. You know what I mean? Like, from everything from story to weapons to power ups. I mean, everything. It's like they like, okay, this is what made the first one great. Now let's take all of that and add to it.
Oh yeah, 100%, man. And that whole franchise, that whole series of games has not disappointed me yet. I have enjoyed every installment of that game. And it's hard to do that when, like you said, like especially to one up the very first. Darksiders 2 did a fantastic job to continue on, especially after all the bullshit that happened with THQ and everything like that. For them to still release the third and for it to be pretty damn good too. On top of all of that, I fucking was stoked. Then they announced 4, and I was like, yes, give it to me. Top down, I don't even care. Just give me the fourth horseman. Let me finish the story. Let me keep seeing where it's going. I'm so excited.
I think Genesis is more of like a 3.5. or a 2.5. You know, it's like a mid game.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
And Darksiders 4 is still a thing because they wanted to do all four horsemen.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, I think that was the original plan. I don't know if that's what they're going to be doing.
Oh, but I need to change my pants. Oh my god. I am so, like, listen, there's tons of franchises and series of video games out there that I love, that we all love. But Darksiders, like, that's one of my, like, top ones, and I love it so much. And to be completely honest, I think it's because of where another title that I really, really enjoy. I think my love for Darksiders is rooted in that other one. And I gotta mention it, man. I gotta go old school with this one. Diablo was like, it's absolutely hack and slash. And yeah, it's top down RPG.
And top down, right. Yeah,
you know, it's all that. Kind of, yeah, but you know what? That doesn't even matter, man. Diablo, specifically Diablo 2. You want to talk about a game that upped from the first one? Diablo 2 also did that. Diablo 2 was such a great game. I have 3. I've played 3. 4 is on the way out. The Diablo series of games, chef's kiss. Honestly, I love everything about it, man.
I had played the third one. I never really played anything before that. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. Unfortunately, when I was playing my buddies, no one really got into it but me. And I ended up playing like alone, which kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah. Because
there's so much to do like as a group.
Yes.
So unfortunately, I never really got through a lot of it. But I enjoy them for what they are. I enjoy both magical characters and like physical, like tanky characters in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot of options. What's funny though is like, I love Death in the Darksiders series so much because he was very much so that rogue-ish character, you know, like especially with the weaponry that he had and everything like that. Diablo, same thing. You have so many choices as far as who you can be. I always was like the rogue or assassin style character just because I love that the fast, quick pace action, the type of weaponry that they have. Like that is, you play hack and slash because you like that type of gameplay. Playing a rogue character is that plus so much more for me personally. Yeah, that's why I loved like playing that class so much. Both those titles, both Diablo, the roots, Darksiders, the new gen stuff for me. Those are like some of the top games for me personally.
I often talk about one of the very few Nintendo 64 games that I play, Nightmare Creatures. it's rare that I enjoy a game on the N64, and you guys all know, but Nightmare Creatures was very much an early hack and slash, the 3D, you know, hack and slash type game, and it was just one of those like fun Monster Hunter old school London type of feel to it. It was it had its little puzzles, but it's actually pretty hard enemies. A lot of the old games always had like a very unforgiving, you know, masochistic feel to them. Mm-hmm. Much like the Dark Souls games of today. But yeah, I very much enjoyed Nightmare Creatures, and I think one of my other favorite ones of all time was Force Unleashed, the Star Wars Force Unleashed. Oh,
yeah.
Those ones were so much fun, just because you could be like good or evil as a Jedi. You know, and it was just so much fun. I mean, obviously, they're like, it's not like, you know, KOTOR or whatever, but those weren't really, those were really hack and slash. Those were like point and click things, right?
Yeah, essentially. So the Force Unleashed was like one of the only Star Wars games I ever played, and it really turned me on to Star Wars as a whole. Game. And then when I tried to play another Star Wars game, I was like, this fucking sucks, dude. Like, I think after that game, I was like, yeah, I picked up that game. I picked up like one of the pod racer games, or like one of the games where you stay inside of a starship, and I'm just like,
right. Yeah,
where are the guys with the fucking glowy swords? That's what I'm trying to do here. Like.
Right, exactly. If I don't get to play as a Jedi sometimes, then I'm not playing a Star Wars game. I enjoy a good Star Wars game.
But see, that's a like series of games because there's so much involved in that universe. that you're going to get titles right. like Pod Racing and then, like, you know, your traditional, like, Let's Be a Jedi or a Sith and, like, all these other things. Like, that universe is just so big and broad and open that the games can cross genres over and over again to different styles, and you're always going to get something different. And that's cool, and I like, right. yeah, it can work for some people that are, like, just all into that particular franchise, but, like, I can't do that. I like when a series of games has more of a consistency to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a more of a fluid, like, this is your starting point A, and then we're going to go from there and move on with the next installments of the game. Whether they're different stories or not, I feel like there still has to be some, what's the word I'm looking for here? A continuous, you know, presentation of those characters, and there's a constant there. Right. That's what I'm looking for. There's a more of a constant.
Okay, so I see you're more about the staples. So, like, that's why Force Unleashed probably enjoyed Force Unleashed, right? Did you play Force Unleashed?
Yeah, I toyed around with that game for a little bit. Yeah, and I enjoyed it. It was a fun one.
You know, Derek, so you're saying, like, you only like the mainline game of, you don't like, and I'm about to piss off the Kingdom Hearts fans, you don't like if you have a story going and then suddenly someone decides, you know what, this really good story that we have millions of fans needs? A fucking rhythm game.
Oh, right.
What do you mean? I love Donkey Konga.
You want a Darksiders rhythm game on the mobile? There's something else I wanted to say about this genre too that we're talking about is, like, when it comes to hack and slash games like that, they also don't just primarily, yes, it's used with, like, the sword, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But also in a specific kind of way of speaking, you know, you guys talked about how, like, you could use the scythe and everything, and that's cool. Going back and, like, to Devil May Cry for, like, a minute, there's a part of me that feels like if you were to take a poll and you were to ask, like, what game has some of the most creative and innovative weapons in, like, all of video gaming, I feel like a lot of people, I don't know if it would win because people are stupid, but, like, Devil May Cry has amazing weapons. Let me just explain some of the weapons you could use if you were not so inclined as to use a giant fucking demon hunting sword. You could use, and I named some of these before in the previous episode to Derek because he was going to play the games, a nunchuck made entirely out of ice given to you from the demon god Cerberus. There are dual swords you can use. One is made of wind and one is made of fire. And if you clang them together, you can create a massive oxygen flaming tornado.
That's so dope.
A guitar that allows you to summon electrified bats. I'm not making this shit up. It is a giant purple guitar. This was in Devil May Cry 3, one of my favorite games of all time, if not my favorite game of all time.
Nice.
Where Dante could play different guitar riffs. You know, you can alternate between heavy and light attacks to, like, play guitar riffs. And you could kill demons by summoning lightning and swarms of bats by using this fucking guitar. Devil May Cry is a... There is also a demonic briefcase that transforms itself into a cannon, a rocket launcher, or a rideable fucking death machine that shoots rockets. Again, no making this shit up. Like, Devil May Cry is insane weaponry, but, like, it's more so to the bigger point I'm trying to make, which is, like, I enjoy those games where as you go through, there's, like, other alternatives you get as well. It's not right. just like right. you don't just have to. It's hack and slash, yes, and you get different combos and things like that. But it wasn't just, like, you know, that one weapon. And that's something, if I could give this game one piece of criticism, Ghost of Tsushima, we all generally believe that game was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And with that, I wish it just had, like, maybe one more melee weapon. If not, I understand the game is fully about samurai and the sword and thing like that. And I get it. It's fine. It was a beautiful, perfect game. I loved it. If I could switch to, like, a bow staff or some fucking nunchaku or just something that's, like, something else, maybe, that'd be sick as fuck, you know? But that's another hack and slash I wanted to add. I didn't want to not mention on this fucking episode because that game was goddamn beautiful.
Yeah. No, definitely a fantastic title. Yeah, you know, it's funny because, well, two things I'm observing here just in our conversation. One, hack and slash isn't just like the fun for the reasons that are just blatantly obvious that you go around just fucking slicing up and destroying mobs and, you know, destroying enemies and stuff like that. It's really important that the weaponry you use, like you said, Jordan, like, yeah, having that main staple weapon is cool, but if you don't get to upgrade that at some point in the game, I feel like you miss out and you don't have as much fun. And if you don't have, like, even though, like, for myself, certain games, I may not use all the other options all the time, but I think if I didn't have those options on the table, I would feel kind of like bored. Like, it wouldn't be as fun to be like, oh, let me take this random projectile weapon and see if I can headshot that demon from across the stage.
Yeah, you fall into repetition with that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think weaponry is very important.
Yeah, some of the better hack and slashes out there give you a lot of like different options to play with.
Yeah.
But then you end up only using like the ones you like anyway.
Yeah, your favorites. Like, yeah. Sticking with the one weapon that you can upgrade once or twice, maybe change a stat here or two, add element to it.
Exactly.
That's always like the coolest shit when like you have like your starting sword and then like halfway through the game they're like, oh, because you've defeated this enemy, we grant you the power of fire now. Right, and it's just like, I'm a flaming fucking sword, let's go.
literally, you're gonna fall the fuck in love with Devil May Cry after you just said that. Now I know, because you're gonna fight massive demons. You're gonna fight fucking Cerberus. You're gonna fight massive demons, and they imbue their power inside of weapons that you get to take and take with you. You're gonna fucking fall the fuck in love with that game. Mm. You really are. Holy shit,
my willy just shook.
I also did want to say that's kind of a thing that kind of a little bit almost turns me off just slightly, because at that point it's a bit of an immersion killer in a way. And I'm not trying to be like an immersion elitist or anything like that, like whatever, but there's a lot of times where like Zelda is fucking ridiculously guilty of this, where like you have congratulations, you've unlocked the boomerang, welcome to the boomerang temple, where everything you fucking do now, from opening doors to killing enemies, it requires a boomerang. And it's like,
okay. I have one word some people may consider it too, the most notorious weapon in that series, in any of those games, The hookshot. The fucking hookshot. There's always the hookshot dungeon.
In the beginning of the temple, you found the hookshot, and then once you got to the end, you're fighting the hookshot golem. It's like, dude, give me the item, but be fucking like subtle about it. Because that's another thing that games do too, is like they'll give you these weapons, but they'll also create enemies that negate these weapons, or that you have to specifically use them for.
Right.
And at that point, it's like, be subtle about this. If you want to, they give you a fire weapon and they're like, oh, fire, and now, you know, magically and conveniently,
welcome to the ice realm.
Yeah, there you go.
It's Mega like, Man, that's okay, what so, it is. It's the Mega Man formula,
right? So like, there are, you know, it's the element versus element thing, right? It's the hack and slash version of the Pokemon battle, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that I almost appreciate but don't want them to do like crazily.
What is true though? Like, I enjoy like everything we could use.
I want enemies to face them on. I don't want to just like hack and slash. Obviously, I want to hack and slash around, but like, I want that like element to be a part of the game. So like, give me some enemies that can that take double damage or can only be defeated by such and such. You know, give me this big heavy weapon to swing around. Give me somebody that's got a big shield that I can cut through. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I should just. Sometimes I feel like I should just hate like world hunger just so John can go save it. Because I swear you save everything that I
hate. Dude, just because I'm smarter than you doesn't mean I don't like what you think.
That's not at all the situation, sir.
Listen, I kind of have to agree with both of your points, though, because as hilarious as that formula is, and we sit here and be like, well, we know what's coming next, I feel like if you don't have that, like, you're also, like, missing something, like, important.
The point of the weapon, then.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, yeah, I want, you know, I want there to be able to be some, like, lightning upgrade, but now I'm facing a rock giant that is no effect to lightning. It's like, fuck! Like, now this okay. is harder.
Now I have, you know, some kind of weapon to make him, you know, melt away for something. You
yeah,
know?
Like, oh, the, I just the got magma that stone. Yeah, that yeah. Yeah,
that does make that does make a lot of sense. But what I'm saying, like, okay, taking it out of like the hack and slash genre, for example, and just putting it into gaming in a general sense, I don't like the trope of like too much like on the nose obviousness like that. Mm. So like, it's bad enough when like what we're talking about right now. For me, it's it's not bad. I just said that it was a little bit of a thing that I was like, okay, I get it. And like, okay, cool. Like, it feels satisfying, like going up against ice enemies. I just got the fire sword. Hooray. But when they do things where like, you've given me, like, this is a trope that fucking every game does for some reason, where it's like, you've just unlocked this hidden power. Fucking congratulations. Now meet these enemies who literally can take that power away from you for 5 seconds. It's like, why the fuck was the point of you giving me that? Right. Why did you give me this lightning staff if now you're going to introduce these rubber enemies? Like, what was the goal?
Rubber enemies.
What was the point? You know?
Challenge. You got to switch back and forth between stuff.
But that's stupid as fuck. Like, sometimes that's... Listen,
you're stupid as fuck. I'm not...
All I'm saying, listen, okay, we love, like...
If you can't switch between weapons, Darksiders 3 did it perfectly. It's fine. It worked.
I can't switch. I'm not saying I can't. I'm just saying, like, it's fucking, it's dumb. What's the point of you giving it to me if there's people in this world who are susceptible to it? It's fucking stupid.
I think Jordan's point...
Read a book.
I think Jordan's point isn't what you think it is, John. I think it's more like... If you're gonna give me like an ultimate power or like some type of grand scheme like power up, like let me have this ability that will just destroy shit. Don't give me that. Every talent and every upgrade doesn't necessarily need an adversary that can.
You always want to be. You always want to be Superman. You never want to have your powers taken away.
I'm not saying I always want to be Superman. Nobody ever wants to deal with that.
Was it? I want to say in Super Metroid. Wasn't there an ultimate power up at the end of that game that you could pretty much blast any fucking enemy and like that was it?
I don't remember if that. I think I know what you're talking about, right? Like you got like a certain kind of rocket upgrade, and then like there was like end game.
I only remember at some point at the end of the game, Samus was rainbow colored, and I could fucking destroy everything. You know, like that's essentially what I think your point is, and I agree. I think that if you're going to integrate. Like, I like the basic shit, but like, if a game is going to introduce like this, like, mystical power that you've been searching for that was legend in the game and you find it, unlock it, then don't give me this baddie that can obviously negate that, because then the rest of it, all the buildup for that search and that find was bullshit. Yes.
As we were talking, I got the perfect example. I have fucking hated this shit since I was a child, okay? Every Final Fantasy game that exists, you get some really cool spells. The same kind of spells. What do you get in Final Fantasy? You get air, fire, water, whatever. But you get you also get the white magic spells that are like different spells. So not white magic, green magic. So it's like you get gravity, and you get like sleep, and you get like poison or some other shit like that that gives your enemy a status effect, right?
Yeah.
But every single time you get to a boss, you can't fucking use it. Yeah, and that's the stupidest shit in the world. Why can't I put Sephiroth to sleep for just one turn? Why not just one turn?
Strong. That's the point.
It doesn't have to be OP or anything like that. But I feel like that's strategizing. But when I look at like regular, like the little regular enemies that it took like to get to the boss room, right? When I'm fighting them in the hallways of the castle or whatever, I'm allowed to use whatever spells I want on them, right? Okay. But why would I want to do that? why wouldn't I just use my sword and kill them real quick and then continue on to the boss room? So you're not giving me any incentive to want to use these spells because they're worthless to use on regular stupid little enemies. Most
people don't use them.
And exactly. So what's the point? That's what I'm saying.
They put them in those type of games because they've been in those type of games forever where they were more useful. You know what I mean?
Okay, but like, what I'm saying is they're worthless.
They're just elements of RPGs that people know.
God damn you, Japan.
I mean, they took the sword and sorcery thing, you know, where it's like, oh, somebody should have a magic power to make people fall asleep. But it's like, but now they're going up against a really big bad guy. They just put him to sleep and stab him in the heart. Well, the game's over. That's no fun. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, so, but not in like, you couldn't do that in like D&D or in like a fantasy movie. But in the video game realm,
if you don't
like,
think you can't put people to sleep and murder them in D&D, then you need to look up more D&D before we play.
I think John's saying you should make people fall asleep, Jordan, and try to stab them in while they're asleep.
I can think of two people right now I would love to put to sleep and stab in the heart. But anyway,
it can't be John.
Listen to me, okay? All I'm saying right now is that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you can't do that because it would be stupid writing. If you're playing D&D or if you're watching fantasy movie, then. Right. But in the video game realm, that's a completely different fucking thing. If I put Sephiroth to sleep for like one turn and then got some damage on him a little bit and it gave me like that leeway to do it, then okay, cool. I got to use one of the spells that I was given in this stupid ass game. And then once I run out of magic points, I can't use it anymore.
Let me ask you a question real quick. When you play Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say you have a fire Pokemon and you go up against, you know, a water Pokemon, you know, like, and they're just normal Pokemon. They're not like crazy or anything, right? Don't they like their damage isn't as like useful? You know what I mean? To that element.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. Like, it's a big baddie. He can't be put to sleep.
It's not the same kind of thing because there's no big baddies in Pokemon. No, there it isn't. Because
there are certain ones you can't use certain spells on, right?
No, wrong. You can use any move on any Pokemon.
They always fall asleep when you put them to sleep.
Dude, this fucking comparison makes no sense. Pokemon are susceptible to whatever move you use on them. There's certain shit like, okay, there's a flying Pokemon, so obviously he's not going to be hit by Earthquake, but that's rooted in logic because he's flying. Sephiroth is just a dude.
Well, so even still, I...
John got so upset his microphone took a shit. Jesus Christ, guys. Hold on. I need way more popcorn for something like this. What the fuck is going on here? Both of you are forgetting something. Not all video games are the fucking same. Yeah, we're talking about hack and slash games. I don't give a fuck about anything else you two got to say.
Well,
and
we tangented into the
and secondly, in that tangent, you're forgetting one thing. All video games are not created equally. Right. So the logic in one series is not going to be the same logic in another series.
Right. That's a good point.
Now that both of you are done pissing on each other.
Where do we go from?
I guess now would be a good time to see if you guys put together any hack and slashes of your own, since you're sitting here and fucking battling each other. Let's see who had the more creative fucking hack and slash game. I'll tell you something right now. I lost because I didn't even fucking, I couldn't think of one. I couldn't think of a hack and slash. Like, I'm going to be honest. I got to give credit where credit's due. Putting together a game with this style of mechanics to be more than just that, like, you have to be super creative to do that. I couldn't think of a story that would be interesting in the least. And like, the whole other thing too is what my point was going to be, besides whatever other point, I don't even remember where the fuck I was 20 minutes ago. One of the other observations I made is that in the hack and slash genre, I see that a majority of them revolve around the idea of dark lore, of demons, angels, things of that sort. And it's like, it's almost weird that like so many are rooted in like the darker like side of like creatures and lore and stuff like that.
I feel like that's because like when you think of like a sword wielder, you think of those like those dark, like from the underworld almost kind of characters that are those like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like you when you go into the fantasy world, yeah, there's like knights and sorcery and things of that nature, but like to make it cool, and I think that the video game industry has tried to capitalize on this, I feel like that's why a lot of their hack and slash shit, Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, Darksiders, mm-hmm. just all that shit, they go to the fantasy realm to do so, but they go to the darker side of the fantasy realm.
Yeah, they never like really the supernatural side of it.
Yeah, supernatural, yeah. Dark, like demons and ghosts and things of that nature.
Yeah. I feel it's either that or samurais. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because they help soldiers.
It's demons or samurais. Like, that's, you know, and samurais, I get, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get ninjas and stuff like that. But, like,
anything, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's like, when I'm trying to think of my own, like, hack and slash, because that's, like, the majority of it, like, I tried to not do that. And I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't fucking for the life of me think of a concept, a character. I couldn't fucking do it. So hats off to everyone that's ever developed a fucking great hack and slash, because I can't fucking do it. So if you guys manage to put anything together, you're way better off than me. So, John, did you manage to put one together? Did you get creative with this one?
Yeah, this was actually a thing that I had kind of been working on myself almost. Ooh. So cue the legal.
All the legal. Yeah.
You're the lawyers.
All the ideas on the Party Up podcast expressed by the people on the Party Up podcast they belong to the Party Up podcast. TM. So I had come up with like I didn't know what pantheon I wanted to use, but I thought like a pantheon thing for like, you know, to base it in like, you know, old school religion type things are always like a good hack and slash idea, I feel like.
Okay.
Whereas like Darksiders is in Christianity and God of War is in Greek and now in, you know, Norse mythology. I feel like the Irish pantheons, the Tuatha De Danann, like the Morrigan. Ooh. And all those other gods and goddesses, don't get enough play in the gaming world.
No, I agree.
So I thought something like that, where like the Tuatha De Danann like actually like helped out and gave you new powers to deal with some kind of, you know, global threat, because they deal with like Gaia and like keeping the world, you know, the Earth like safe from like almost like a Captain Planet type thing, but like Irish, you know, like
Captain Irish Spring.
Yeah, like Gaia uses like the Morrigan to try and like, you know, some kind of evil in the world that needs to be blighted, whether it's, you know, vampire. You could do all the classic monsters, honestly, like vampires and werewolves and all that kind of stuff. And just kind of have your a hack and slash. You start with a weapon of your choice, whether it's sword or bow or, you know, bow staff or you know, something like that, because they were all, you know, big into those kind of weapons. And then you know, you get powered up, you get different things, you have a like the Morrigan can teach you things about, you know, whatever, you know, whether it's shadow movement or, you know, you get like one from Manon McLear is like the sea god, you know, and he gives you some kind of like, you know, transmorph, turn into a something to use up, you know, in a water, whatever, I don't know,
something like that.
Where it's like every god and goddess that's trying to help you gives you a cool new power, you know, and very much a god of war, old fashioned.
Right. So familiar but different is pretty much what I'm picking up from, like, something like that. Yeah. So structurally, it would be very familiar, but just with the original, where you're getting the source material and the mythology and the lore and stuff, is something that we haven't really seen before or done.
Yeah,
or
it's
done
very
well.
rarely seen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, man. I would play the shit out of that. Yeah, it'd be something different, but something that I can get
have
behind.
A little, maybe like a character creation, kind of make you like a druid of your own. You know, whether you want to play as a male or a female, and then like. The hairstyles would be like choosable, and like tattoos would give you certain powers to start with, like whether it was like vines, you know, golems, you know, shit like that.
Cool, that would be dope. Yeah. Okay,
like be able to talk to the earth through your tattoos type of thing.
That would be fucking sick. Hell yeah. I would play the shit out of that.
That's a good massive one. I like that.
Yeah, it's, that's how you introduce the mystical into it, right?
Yeah. That's dope. All right, cool. I can back that. That's a great fucking idea, man. That's good. That's damn awesome. Man. What about you, Jordan? What are you bringing to the table here?
Okay, so John wins, first of all.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you why, because he took this seriously. Jordan did not.
Oh. Hold on. Wait. You're telling me you didn't take something here on the show seriously? Come on. I don't fucking believe that.
Okay, well, I've created the plot. I didn't have time to finish, but I have the essential.
The fact you even thought there would be a plot, that's a step up in the right direction. Let's go.
So I created this game in my head, and honestly, it'd be so difficult to get the rights to all this fucking property, but if it could go down, it would be one of the greatest games that ever existed.
It's question. Called, hold on. Yes. Question before you start. Sorry. Okay. Does it in any way, shape, or form involve Terry the Triceratops?
It does not.
I don't want to play it.
Oh, man. I got to bring him back in some form. Yeah. Oh, I truly do.
Yeah.
That was one of my better creations. No, this is actually... So it's called Sitcom Slayer.
Oh, my God.
Essentially, you play as... The America's true sitcom protagonist, Steve Urkel. And you journey across each land is consisting of a different, you know, sitcom show, trying to collect the four strongest weapons in sitcom history. So the four weapons themselves, you start out with this one. It's the sitcom sort of 30-minute plot saves, which means essentially every battle you get into with this sword will essentially be roughly a half an hour, the same time it takes for an episode of a sitcom to be done, minus commercials. And it will be like a troublesome kind of battle for you, but in the end, just like in sitcoms, everything will work itself out. There are no to be continued with this fucking weapon, folks. The second mystic weapon is the flaming gauntlet of Full House. It is a gauntlet with the power of forced, heartwarming moments and cheesy dialogue. It's essentially golden gauntlets that are like melee weapons. The third is the trident of Three's Company. It is a trident that is imbued with the power of the three mystic points of righteousness, Chrissy, Janet, and Jack Tripper. And this is stupid as fuck, but I don't care. The last one, this is my favorite weapon of all time. It is the bow of it is the bow of Sanford and Son.
Oh my god.
It is a bow that fires an arrow imbued with a George Jefferson quote. So every time he fires an arrow, it goes, "You big dummy! You big dummy!"
Oh my god.
And at the end, when you finally collect all the weapons, you have to defeat the sub boss and the main boss of sitcom horrendousness. The first one being the sub boss, Roseanne Barr, and her ridiculous racism. And then, can you guys guess who the final sitcom boss would be?
Betty White or B. Arthur?
No, absolutely really? Wrong. Who's the most controversial sitcom star to ever exist in American history right now? No.
Oh.
I don't know.
Then I have no idea.
You will be going up against demonic Bill Cosby.
Oh my God. Oh yep. My God. Does he have a sleep spell? I'm assuming he does.
I'm so pissed I didn't write that. I should have fleshed out the plot more. Oh god, I should have taken the time to flesh out the plot more. Oh, I'm pissed.
I mean, it sounds like you took a lot of time. Now, I there are times, specifically in this episode,
here we go,
where I really wonder. You know, I go, I really want to know what Jordan's going to bring to the table. And then you present this, and I'm still confused as to what you bring to the table. No, I'm kidding. I'm absolutely being an asshole. I'm absolutely digging on you for no reason. Oh, because that shit is actually pretty fucking funny. Because fucking it's rad, so right? fucking ridiculous.
There's gotta be like a Seinfeld mission where like the whole episode has nothing to do with anything.
Exactly. It's just it's one long cutscene of him just standing on a stage just talking about nothing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What's the deal with the power-ups?
What's the deal with cutscenes? You see through the whole thing.
And it's literally just level... a 20-minute cutscene of him yeah. doing a stand-up about cutscenes.
About cutscenes.
You sit through the whole thing, you think there's going to be some dialogue, and there really isn't. You think there's going to be some gameplay, there isn't. don't pause the game. There is no skip sequence.
And God forbid they put in a button where you can just skip the damn thing.
That, like, a press that? X to skip puts for like a microsecond.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, there it goes. You missed it.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, God.
I can see some indie dev somewhere out there taking this idea, running with it. Urkel as the main character is definitely, I could definitely see him wielding, you know, a decent blade and definitely some magic projectiles of some sorts.
He also gets a form change to Stefan Urkel.
Right.
In which he cannot hold that form, but it does give him enhanced power and magic.
You know, another thing that I'm coming to realize here is just how thankful I am to have both of you here on the show, because you two are the opposite of the spectrum. I'll tell you that right now. The complete opposite. And to have you both here on the show and meet in the middle and bicker about the dumbest shit is quite possibly the most entertaining thing that I could ever ask to happen on the
show.
This
episode had it all. It truly
got, oh, yeah. I got out of hand. I apologize.
I think we had a normal debate, and I do not think John went out of hand at all. I think that he presented his case, I presented mine, and we got loud. So.
Yeah, and neither one of you had a valid fucking point. So
yeah, that's
all right. Well, we talked about hack and slash. We talked about our favorite hack and slash titles.
We did.
John and Jordan hacked and possibly also slashed each other.
We did.
And we saw some creative new up and coming titles for the year 2022.
Pick them all off.
Yeah. We hit a lot of boxes. We marked off a lot of them, and I am happy to say that we've come to the conclusion of the episode, because yes. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of these two. I like how like I came to the table super stoked on the show and like had like question structured and like the discussion like laid out in my head, and it was all going all well, and then and then you couldn't put the boss to sleep then and then it all just went to shit. It all just went to hell. But to all the listeners out there that have sat through this amazing episode, thank you for doing so. Thank you for tuning in each and every week. If you do so, if this is the first time experiencing the Party Up podcast, well, this was the episode to truly experience it. but no, in all seriousness, a great episode, guys. I'm glad that we touched on the genre of hack and slash. You guys brought some really interesting fucking made up games, and I would play the shit out of both of them. You guys did better than I could, because my creative juices were just not flowing when it came to this. I just couldn't think of anything original. But yeah, I mean, listen, hack and slash is one of those genres of games that are always going to be super fun, no matter how ridiculous or how serious they are. You know, you're going to have a plethora of weapons to play with, power-ups to, you know, build your character up. Hack and slash is definitely a genre that if you have never played a title in this type of style, we recommend. We listed off a ton of titles. You can go online, look up a bunch more, and I'm sure that there's something there. If anything, I've come to realize that I really, as much as I love the style, I really haven't begun to dive as deep as I should be in this genre. So I'm definitely going to take some of the titles you guys talked about, add it to my list of games that I definitely want to touch on and play. They're definitely going to make it onto the backlog list. Definitely still want to play Devil May Cry. I got to crack open those Neos that I still have that I never played. So yeah, we're going to get into a bunch of that stuff. So I'm glad that we did this today. I'm glad that it all came together. And make sure you guys add us on social media if you enjoyed today's content. We have a lot more coming your way. Like I said at the top of the show, we have a ton of stuff happening. We have our weekly podcast. We're going to have different streams, different shows happening exclusive to Twitch on a weekly schedule as well. This Friday, the 19th, 8 p.m., make sure you find us on Twitch for our first edition of John's new project here for us at the show, Dungeons and Sandwiches. We're going to be playing Dungeons and Dragons for the very first time. So twitch.tv/partyuppodcast. Make sure you follow early. Stay in the loop. Make sure you find us on Twitter at @PartyUpTweets, Instagram at @ThePartyUpPodcast, and of course on Facebook by searching The Party Up Podcast. Drop us a like, join our group, be part of the conversation. Stay up to date with everything that we're going to be doing. And of course, share. Please, if you enjoy the stuff that you're listening to, enjoy prior episodes, are hyped on all the stuff that we're going to be bringing forth to you guys, share it away, please. That's the best way that you guys can support us here on the show, is by getting out the word. And of course, a million thank yous to everybody out there for doing so and for listening. And that's pretty much it show-wise. Jordan, you do a list of content yourself. How can people stay in touch with you and everything that you put forth on the internet?
On Instagram, you can find me at Jordan7. That's JORDANSE, the number 7EN. And my other Instagram is 7TVOfficial to stay up to date with all of my announcements. And if you go on YouTube, you type in 7TVSE, the number 7ENTV. I am the first search result that comes up. Watch all my videos, like all my stuff.
Awesome, fantastic. And for you, John, you also bring forth a plethora of content to the internet. How can people stay in touch with you and everything you do?
You can go to GamingAccessWeekly.com for all your favorite video game news, reviews, and editorials. FableBeardCo.com with coupon code SB2L15 for 15% on your beard oil purchase. For anything in your cart, actually. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SomeBeardy2Love. That's the number 2 not spelled out. And twitch.tv/SB2L. And of course, don't forget to find us this Friday for Dungeons and Sandwiches.
Yes. Yes. Super excited on that. So again, ladies and gents, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you guys taking a listen. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you stay up to date with everything happening. And share. Please, by all means, support us that way. And I, of course, have been your host, Derek Big Marshall, for John and for Jordan. We will see you guys next week on a brand new episode of The Party Up Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
You big dummy.